dentist's office. And there was a black owned dentist's office. Black dentist would come and he would bring his daughter on days when school was out. And she'll be over there like playing by herself. So me and my cousins, we talked about, you know, go play with her. Tell her she can come over here, stuff like that. She let us know she could not cross the street. She had to stay on the porch of the dentist's office. Okay. One time we heard her dad say, don't go across there and play with them kids. Don't go across there and play with them kids. As if we was just disgusting. Okay. We was little baby kids. Okay. Summing up to that, we was baby kids. So, so one day, I decided to go and play with her and check her out. Right? Cousins, sisters, stuff like that, like the collective feeling of the group was that they was bougie, they thought they was better than us. Fuck them. I saw something different. So I went to play with her one day and she was really nice. Like, she was able to bring her skates to work with her dad. So, and I had my bike. So we skated and rode bikes and stuff like that. Like, I let her ride my bike. She'll let me use her skates. And so her dad came out one day and saw us out there playing. And he went off. Okay? He went off. He did not want her mingling with us at all. You know? She did not want us mingling with her at all. That made us feel like... That made me... Because it's end of one. That made me feel like... He thought he was better than us. Like, his daughter was better than us. That felt horrible as a kid. Like, it ain't the kid's fault. Then fast forward to adulthood, though. You kind of understand. Even though it's still fucked up. But it's a stereotype. But he never got the time to get to know our parents. To see... Or none of that. So, it was wrong. It was fucked up. But that type of thing is probably what goes into some of my feelings now. Okay? Then there was also my mom, even though he was poor and poorly raised, poorly groomed, and all of that stuff as kids. She had this attitude like she was better than somebody because we lived in Section 8 housing and they lived in the projects. That was some fucked up shit, right? That she would not let me go and play with my cousin in the Chili Willy hole because she act like we was too good. But maybe that's the trauma just being passed down. Because obviously, thinking back now, there was grown adults who treated her the same way she was trying to treat other people. And so, and this is what will go into my mind when I'm like, hell no, I don't want to live in the projects. And it was a whole lot of things that I needed to get straight before, mentally, detaching from my mom, detaching from my childhood, healing and growing from that stuff. And at some point, my best friend was like, Monty, just go and get you a project so you can get the fuck out of this house, set you a plan, and build and grow from there. Perfect situation where you could just stack, keep doing what you're doing, and go. Shit ain't work out like that. Shit did not work out like that. It was mindset. If I ain't got my mindset straight, whew, started working on it immediately, because I can't even say first, because then that would mean staying in a situation where my children was at risk of being molested even longer. So I had to get out. My best friend was right. But while I was getting out, at some point along those times, what I should have been doing was this type of introspection, this type of N-of-1, to work on my mindset and figure out exactly what those things are. And then I wouldn't have been in a position where I ended up in fucked up relationships. How you doing? That kept me stuck. Because it ain't about living in the projects. It's about the mindset that keeps you there, right? It's about the mindset that keeps you in a position where you're dependent on the government. You're dependent on other people. It's about having to stay because of financial situations, having to stay in a high-stress environment because we ain't gonna just talk about that just because I'm living there and people may be in their emotions. This shit is high stress, seeing and dealing with certain shit, constantly hearing fights and all of that stuff, seeing people walking around not their best self. Like, that is a high stress situation for me. And it has to be for anybody else who got their eyes open that's looking. It's not pleasant. Being in an environment, emotions, feelings, all of that is vibrations, and you can feel that. Being in a situation where so many people in such deep pain and stress and depression and anxiety, like, it don't feel good. And being in a situation, being in a place where you financially can't just get up and go is the truth. It's fucked up. So, N-of-1 is very important to figure those things out about yourself, right? In order to change for the positive, because change is inevitable. That is the only thing that is guaranteed in this life. It also allows for control. Like, there is a basic human need to control shit, right? And the issue with control being out of control, control on crack, those motherfuckers that want to control everybody and everything, right? Regardless of class or social status or whatever, that issue comes from not being able to control self. I truly believe that. If they did that and want to learn how to control themselves better, they may not be so focused on trying to control everybody else. So, N-of-1 give you a sense of control, right? And that's especially important when you feel like you lack control, right? When you're in a situation where you feel like everything in your life is subject to whatever somebody else wants for you. To the games that people play. Take control of self. Take back that power. Control self, right? It goes hand in hand with that saying, like, control what you can. Right? And that gets you the knowledge and the wisdom to know the difference. Just in application, just in starting to do introspection, right? Start to think about your mental processes, your moods, reflecting on past experiences. Not to say to, like, live in those emotions, because with the memory comes the emotions. But then that's part of meditation. Learning how to separate yourself from the thoughts and from the feelings and just being an active observer and watching it go back without getting in those emotions of the thoughts, right? Very important, very, very much an individual thing, something that you have to do alone without interference from anybody else. Any other opinions or thoughts? So you got to get alone. In your lonely, not lonely, but in your alone space, in your quiet space. And think and do those reflections without interference. and let it pass by. So then you can start to examine, right? Examine yourself. See where it comes from, those things that shaped your mind. And once you know how it shaped your mind, then you can better understand how to reshape it. That point, right? Where is that gear at in this line that you could just like twist or something like that, right? Or take it out or replace it. Whatever that you need to do. That's just the end of one. It's all about you. Another important reason why is N of one so important. That was the mental processes, right? And once you got the mindset, then you can be better prepared for the rest of the stuff, right? I don't know how much easier it makes it, but you better prepare. And the preparedness in itself makes things a bit easier, right? Because at least you know generally what to expect. So then is the introspection, that is paying attention to your body. Because then you see how your mind and your body is connected, how those certain thoughts and feelings lead to anxiety or depression, leads to these very real physical reactions in the body. And you see how it's connected, right? So then you see how subconsciously going to a place, right, that was negative for you in the childhood, being triggered by these things, and you think it's just the immediate, but really it's deep-rooted in some stuff that you just don't even realize, and it's causing all this anxiety. Well, once you got that shit figured out, then you're like, oh, well, this is just coming from a childhood thing. It ain't got nothing to do with what's going on right now, so that you can better handle the situation right now. Or at least it takes a little bit of focus off of the situation, because now you're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on your heart rate. You're focusing on, why am I feeling this way? Okay. And then you got a moment where you could just chill and be like, all right, it's just regular people shit. This is just regular shit in the world. And it's okay. So then, the next thing is exteroception. And all of these things happen simultaneously. These things happen anyway, subconsciously. But when you are able to consciously focus on it, you can control it. You can identify those points. Exteroception is the external senses, right? Depression, anxiety, it leads to real, actual, physical pain. I don't know if that dog is tied up, and that dog's barking at me, and that dog's big. So, we ain't going the other way. Okay. It's right in. What happened was that memory of that dog bite when I trusted that dog anyway, and that bitch jumped up in my face and bit the hell out of me. That feeling. No, don't want that. Okay. So, we can avoid the exteroception of feeling what it feels like on the external to feel that part. Oh, Lord. Okay. So, feeling externally. Skin, muscle pain, skin dryness, cold, warm, you know, all of those things. You do it consciously without doing it on purpose. For instance, when you have a cold, your skin feels like, like you get those chills and stuff, and you can like feel your skin. I don't know if this ever happened to you when you're sick, but it sometimes happened to me when I'm sick. And I get cold and I can like feel the kind of like goosebumps all over my skin and stuff like that. Even though inside I may feel warm, the outside I feel cold and I can feel the air hit and stuff like that. That's how I know that like okay, maybe this is a little worse cold. It's a different type of virus going on. You know, sometimes when I have, like, flu or something like that, it happens. So, exteriospection. Paying attention to the outside of your body, right? And there's an exact word for paying attention to your body, like the conscious or subconscious awareness of your body in space. I forgot what that word is, but it goes hand in hand with exteriospection, because wherever it is in space, like right now it's windy. I can feel the wind on my hand this way. I can't feel it so much when I put it at a different angle, right? In that case, it'll help me to identify which way the wind is blowing. It's just paying attention to your senses, right? The smells, sight, how well you can see. Sense of hearing, right? And these things are coming from external sources, even though, like, your middle ear is inside your body, your eyeball and the nerves is transported to your brain is inside your body, stuff like that. But it's also allowing you to understand how the internal and external work together. Internal, external mind, how it all works together. So that you could better not just, I want to avoid using the word diagnose yourself, but that's essentially what it is. So you can figure out what's going on with you, so you can identify your issues and what'll best solve those issues, right? It helps when you go into the doctor, you know, not trying to put doctors out of business, because those machines and stuff like that is needed. And we are studying biology and stuff like that, you know, we're studying ourselves, and they are medical doctors, so they know about certain things that we don't know about. You can research, you take what they say and go and research it for yourself. But like, if you are better able to identify what's going on with you, then it's not someone outside of yourself experimenting with yourself, prescribing all these medicines. That's just an experiment that's most likely leading to other issues. Just being patched up with more medicine that's leading to other issues. Right? You can identify for yourself. And sometimes the medicines may be needed. Sometimes all you need to do is go get you a nice edible. Smoke you a blunt and you good. Right? Yes. Yes. So, once you know all of these things, and that's why that is a very important part of identifying your perfect strand, right? Because you got to know you, and then you got to know the plant, and you got to know what the plant offers you. Same thing with anything. You got to know the food, right? You got to know what's good for your body, right? Watching YouTube videos and stuff, and you know, the doctor, he's like, food is medicine. It's true. True. You gotta know the plants. You gotta know your body, so you can know what plants work best for your body and what exactly you need for your body, right? So, when it comes to anxiety, stress, depression, there are certain strands that will work great for you in conjunction with like changing your diet. Changing certain things about your lifestyle, exercise, stuff like that. Like, I was watching this doctor. I always like, I'm like, I don't know if I can say the name or not. Dr. Bobby. Like, check him out on YouTube. I've been watching him. And in this last video I watched, he's like, take a cold shower. It helps reset, you know? And then, you know, it helps reset you. You're introducing yourself to stress. You know, it helps, you know, better take on stress throughout the day. So, like, let's see if this shit works. Ha! I hate cold showers, for one. But I did it. And it reminded me why I hate cold showers. It's definitely a stressor. And I never thought about it like that. it definitely stresses you out. For me, I had a hard time catching my breath. I went from cold and I said, fuck this shit. And I turned it a little bit, add a little heat to it. I'm like, we could just do lukewarm. We'll work our way up to cold. So I took a lukewarm shower. And then at the end, you know, after I rinsed off and everything, I was like, let me just do this cold thing. Boom. Turned the knob all the way to cold. And the shit just hit me. Bam. I don't know how sports people do it, getting in those ice baths and stuff like that. Whew. God damn, you some strong motherfuckers. Because, whew, I got out the shower and was still trying to catch my breath. Whew. So we're going to work our way up to that. Now that's a personal challenge. To be able to get in the shower, take a cold ass shower, and like deal with the shit. Just deal with it. Okay. And part of my resistance to that could also come from childhood. Those experiences where we just had to, where you just had no choice, right? Because it's a thing, it's something about choice, right? That's very freaking important. Even something good for you done against your will is like slavery. It's like torture, right? We had to take cold showers. I hated that shit. We ain't had no heat. We ain't had no choice. You will get clean, and it won't even showers because we had those bear claw tubs that didn't have a shower. So you getting in just sitting in some cold ass water. You know, the goddamn shit on the stove don't always heat up fast enough. It's five of us. You gotta hurry up, get in there, and take turns. So you just gotta take a cold ass bath. Not fun. Not fun. So, you know, that could have something to do with it too. So get past that shit, okay? This is a choice. And then it'll be easier for me to go and just take that cold ass shower. Woo. Woo. Oh my. Okay. But I did feel better afterwards, right? Nothing wakes your ass up like a cold shower. It won't no dragging in the morning. It won't no even dragging as much in thought, thinking about going outside just to walk with no real destination. Just walking, the destination is better health, right? Better health. Getting some sun, getting out of the house, out of the cement walls, right? And outside. And just like get my heart rate up, get the blood flowing and all that stuff. Cause it do feel good. But like thinking about it, going from a state of like sleep to thinking about getting up and going running, that ain't my idea of like pleasure. Some people they're like, yeah, hell yeah. It's great. I'm like, yeah. It's a have to, not a want to. So, you know. But the goal is one day it'll be a want to because the results are outweigh, you know, getting started. But that cold shower helped. It woke me the fuck up and it had me like, I don't even want to get back into bed right now. May as well get up and go. So here we go. Walking and talking. I don't know what parts of this video I'm edit out. Maybe none of it. Because it's the becomings, right? If I talk about seeing the process, this is the process for me. And you know, there may be some people that can relate. Like while I'm watching these people, I'm like trying to learn from these people. A lot of the things that I keep seeing is reminders not to get caught up in the part of the story that you're watching now, right? Like they've got the success. They got the viewers, the followers. That's what lead to you showing up on that algorithm and stuff like that because they've put in the work and they're doing the things. But it took them a journey to get to that place of that journey that they're still on, right? So they're like, don't compare yourself to me. Sometimes it comes off a bit like bougie and shitty and like, okay. But the truth is, you can't compare yourself because subconsciously you start trying to rush the process. And that's also what they say, right? Don't rush the process. You start to try to go straight for those things instead of doing the shit like this, like just get up and walk, right? Because there's a certain level of healing that comes from it. There is certain information and awareness and things that you can learn about yourself on your own process and just doing those small things, taking those small steps first. Like, for instance, okay, babies, right? Some babies don't walk. Some babies just stand up and just start running, right? I think that running sometimes is a combination of trying, like, really wanting to get to what's over there and being scared to take that first step, because when you take that step, it's shaky, right? So they immediately run, because running is what keeps them vertical, keeps them from falling and hurting themselves, right? So they just run. But it's lessons in the walking. Like, you learn stability in the walking, right? Like, you learn how to move and not fall down as easy walking, right? When you're running, kind of like, I don't know, motion and gravity, other laws kind of keep you afloat, right? You're using a little less balance and more momentum to keep you going. So then when that momentum stops, boom, you fall because you don't have the balance, right? Not quite as stable. You just take off running. So it's important to, like, just start off one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, you know? And that's reminding me of the Yellow Brick Road, The Wiz, right? Don't carry nothing, that'll be a load. Ease on down the road, one step at a time, right? One foot in front of the other. So, you know, this is it. This is what it looks like for me, okay? Just walking and talking and sharing the information. So, the strands. Well, it's many different strands. And no strand, like nowadays, you go and you know, for instance, a Kush. There's no one type of Kush, one strand of Kush, right? So it's about knowing the profile. The profiles that you want to look for includes certain terpenes and cannabinoids, right? Two major cannabinoids that's going to be listed when you go and find tested products, or when you test your products, the two that we all know, CBD and THC, right? High THC can lead to more anxiety. It's just the truth, right? So, depending on who you are, will determine and what's going on with your body and your mind state and all of that stuff, your health, diet, holistically, who you are at that particular time will determine what level of THC you can take, okay? THC alone does not add to that high feeling, okay? You take something high in THC, a high ratio of THC, you liable to just go to sleep. You be fighting against your body wanting to go to sleep. And I understand if sometimes that's that type of high feeling. People like to fight against drowsiness. You know, I don't personally, but maybe some people do. But everybody needs to understand that that is not, okay, so for me, the great high feeling that comes with smoking weed is that euphoric feeling, right? Now, there are certain combinations. See this goddamn, the soul and the self. I have to do some hand exercises. So, okay. Certain combinations give you more of a euphoric feeling. Okay. It's not necessarily high in THC. I've had strands that was lower in the THC ratio of things, but that was like high in beta-carophyllene, that was higher in linonene, and had that whole euphoric head high, feeling great, buzzed like a motherfucker, right? Like just feeling good. So it's an entourage of effects that you go for, and it depends on the person. Cause I can smoke that same thing, somebody else smoke it, and they experience the same high, but how they receive that experience, how they understand that experience is different, right? Maybe they want more of a body high, you know, where they kind of feel like they're floating, you know, along with the euphoric, like that mental, psychoactive type of feeling, right? I've felt that type of high and been completely focused, and I felt that type of high and had brain fog, right? It depends on the entourage of effects. They work in combination with each other, and it depends on you. So that's the importance in knowing your perfect strand. And when I say perfect strand, that is like unleash your perfect strand. That is like for shock value. But it is no one perfect strand, right? You may have your favorites, right? You may have your one favorite. It's always a go-to. But then it's good to mix it up, right? Because now you have overabundance, or you have an abundance of a certain thing in your body. Then after a while, you smoke it, and it don't quite have the same effect, right? Because you got to let some of the other things kind of die out. That's also the importance of tolerance breaks. Tolerance breaks and switching it up. Tolerance breaks, switching it up, right? You ever, okay, your weed person only have like one type. And you know, this is like a smoking week for you. Like you just like going in maybe more than usual that week. And after a while, it's like, it just don't have the same effect anymore. You get tired of it. Like, I'm tired of smoking the same shit. I want something new. You know, I just want something different. That's why. Your body got used to it. You got the higher levels of those terpenes and those cannabinoids in your body that is producing, like, those same receptors. It's the same connections. And there's a lot already in your system. You know? Takes about 45 days for that shit to like die down, you know. So then you switch it up, then you introduce in different terpenes, right? So it's a different entourage of effects. Then it's like, damn, you know. And then you can go back to the other one a little later, and you're like, okay, now I'm getting the same high, the same feeling I got the first time when I smoked this one. You know what I'm saying? That's how that should be. And then you take a tolerance break, 45 days. Now, it's always in your system. Like, they have tests. And depending on what level, what particular job, what particular thing you're going for, they got tests where they can tell if you've ever smoked at all, ever in your life. So it's always in you, right? But it's just at different levels, right? So, you know, after 45 days, you pass in the average job drug test, you know? Because the levels are low enough. Okay. So, and at that lower levels after 45 days, it's kind of like a reset. Smoke again, those same strands, other shit. You know? You ain't gotta smoke constantly, and then like add shit to it or do stuff to it. You don't have to look for higher and higher and higher THC levels. While that's fun to play around with and experiment with, You know, it's fun to, it's like a, I want to say like a novelty, like a once in a while type of thing, like luxury, like, oh, let's go crazy and do like, you know, 30% THC or some shit. Every day is not good for you. On a regular is not good for you, right? Like it's affecting your brain. It's not naturally the way the plant grows. It's somebody purposely growing it for those specific reasons to alter the plant, right? And while like cannabis is the fucking shit, so you can grow for specific purposes and alter the plant without it turning into something poisonous for humans, you still want to be careful of how much you're consuming. You want to know where your personal limits are. It ain't a competition, right? Those things is like, see who can get the highest, see who can smoke the longest, see who can smoke the most. That's ridiculous, right? Because everybody is individual, so it gotta be what's best for you. End of one. Do your own study. Know what's best for you. Be uniquely you proudly, okay? And avoid the dumb shit. The next thing you know, your mind is going crazy because you're trying to smoke and keep up with somebody else who can handle the shit. Right? And then you got to go do the opposite. And then you got to, you need some CBD to like balance you out and bring it down. Because in nature, everything like is right there with each other. You got the THC and then you got the counter, the CBD. And that is important. That has its own medicinal values, right? And it's really great for those who want to get some of those same benefits without feeling high. It's really perfect for them. And for those who have hyperpromethysis and fuck around and smoke some weed anyway. Now I'm telling you, don't smoke the weed, right? Like you are allergic to it, your body don't like it, you are rejecting it, leave it alone, it's not for you. But if I understand sometimes shit, you be weak. You want to cope. You want to just get high, right? Get you some CBD, right? It'll bring those effects down. It'll calm your body down. All of the shakes, the anxiety, the nausea, the all of those horrible feelings. When the doctor tell you to go and sit in a tub of water, you know, and that tub of water helps. That CBD helps. It helps faster, right? It's a counter to the THC. Get you some straight CBD. Not Delta 8, because Delta 8 is where they take the CBD and then they spray a altered molecule on it, whereas 8 chains instead of 9, just get straight CBD. Hell, the Delta 8 don't even really get you high anyway, for real. That's a fucked up thing. Something they market to kids. Which is also a fucked up thing. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway. Whether or not the kids do it should be between the parent, the child, and, you know, I want to say a physician, but then that's also, like, you need that guidance. You need integral physicians. But you don't want somebody that just got an attitude, that got the stigma, that grew up, you know, childhood, something similar to mine, where they looking down on people and they just want to like quick call CPS or some shit. So, you know, there's that part. Okay. Beta-carophylline, linalool, linalool, pinene. Those are the things. And there, while I'm saying pinene, I'm here with a bunch of pine trees. Pinene terpene in pine. You smell it, it smells similar. No, it's a damn phone, like you're a person that you can freaking smell through the phone. It's relaxing, it's calming, right? So even if you don't smoke weed, if you can't smoke weed for work purposes and shit like that, go pull some pine needles, right? It's beautiful. It has, I have to look up what is the exact like medical definition of psychoactive, because I'm thinking this is psychoactive effects. It's altering your mind, it's altering your mood. Without the high, but it's psychoactive. It's activating your psycho, your psyche, your mind, mood. That's also why smelling cannabis is also therapeutic. Those different scents, terpenes and combination, oh my gosh. It smells so fucking good. It smells so fucking good. In addition to being able to like connect the smell with the feeling of consuming it. Just smelling it. I believe if you never consume it, you smell it. It'll have positive effects. It's true, these terpenes work. And then in combination, so relaxations, cannabis spa, right? Smoke the strands that's high in it, you know, have those as edibles, right? And then also have that scent in the air. It works in combination. You need to like some relaxation, end of the day, you want to go to sleep, pass the fuck out, get something that's high in myrcene, and then eat a mango that has myrcene in it. It works in combination, right? It's natural, you're helping your body, and you're getting fully fucking relaxed. You're getting you some good sleep. Okay, so this is the importance of N of One, of knowing yourself, of knowing which the strands and what works best for you, being able to identify these things, right? And if you're a business owner, being able to better identify these things for your customers, for your clients that come in and they're looking for something, right? They're looking for relief for something. You can better help them more than just saying, okay, you know, try this one. This is a top seller. And people say this helps with this. Yeah. And usually a lot of times it's not like the people that say it or that's telling them directly, because it's like a new thing that's coming in. It's what the manufacturer is telling you that the people say it. So it's just more scientific, more down to the actual facts, getting the data out there. These terpenes help with certain things. The entourage of it gives you amazing effects depending on who you are, what you need, what your body type is. Not body type, like physical on the outside, like shapes and stuff, but like what's your makeup? And without all the machines, you can identify it with introspection, interospection, and exterospection. Just paying attention, a conscious awareness of your body and mind. And the things that affect it, right? Then when you consume, paying attention to how that affects you, knowing exactly what's in it, what's the terpene profile, how much, what is the CBD to THC ratio, right? And that's not even getting into all the other cannabinoids, CBG, CBN, all of those things that really help with a lot of stuff, from relaxation to cancer cell death, you know, which leads into another thing. That is also why it is important to have these human trial studies specifically on the effects of these terpenes and cannabinoids on the human body, right? Because up to this point, because of the federal regulations and stuff like that and fear and stigma behind it, there's only been tests done in labs and petri dishes, right? Where they would take certain cells and add the cannabis to it and then look under the microscope and see what happens. Or in rats, right? Where they would take an anxious rat and give it some THC or CBD or something like that and then see the effects, measure the heart rate and all of that stuff, see how it changes. Or tumors in rats. Stuff like that. Sickle cell and things. That's another thing that I've been researching and reaching out to research facilities and stuff like that to get more information on, and that's sickle cell. Now, that's a genetic thing, so I'm not expecting THC to like change your DNA to where the cells no longer come out sickle, because that has to do with the hemoglobin not being attached to it, which is also carrying iron, which is why it leads to all these other deficiencies. My focus is on the blood clotting. Okay, the blood is in a sickle shape, and that shape clots up arteries, which leads to other things like stroke and seizures, different type of embolisms. And so when I'm reading on it, all of the medical research papers and stuff, they describe it as being sticky. My issue with that is once I see the videos of them doing, showing what the cells look like going through the blood vessels, I'm curious as to what they mean by sticky. Does it mean like adhesive sticky, or do they mean that it sticks together because of the shape? Now, if it's sticky, then smoking weed is not going to help. It's going to dilate your blood vessels. It makes your blood vessels wider, so it'll pass through. But then if it's sticky, then they'll still stick together as they're passing through. Then you end up with an embolism, which can lead to death or stroke. Not good. In that case, if you have sickle cell, don't smoke weed at all. Don't consume at all. But if they mean sticky by the shape, just the shape clogging because it's a C shape instead of a disc shape, and they get stuck in the blood vessels because of the shape alone, then by dilating your blood vessels, you have more room for it to flow through. And then that means it's decreasing your risk of clots and embolisms. So in that case, do smoke weed. So I need to find out exactly before I can say it helps with sickle cell or don't help with sickle cell. That's very important. What do they mean by sticky? What's happening with the blood of people with sickle cell? You know? Okay. And in either case, you wouldn't want to smoke it because it's an issue with the hemoglobin not attaching, so poor oxygen circulation. So you don't want to add like the smoke to your lungs, because even though it's opening up your blood vessels, it's opening up your airways, depending on which strain you smoke, it's still, you open it up, but then you're adding smoke, which is, you know, CO2 instead of oxygen. So you want to consume differently without smoking, without like burning the plant. You want to, without inhaling smoke, you want edibles, right? Tinctures, oils, you know, mix it in your food and your drink or something, you know? But that's only if what they mean by sticky is just talking about the shape and not it being more adhesive, more like sticking together. that was that. Fibromyalgia. Don't know what that is. I mean, like, you know, we know what that is, but don't really know what that is. Like, person just experienced pain all over. It could have something to do with the, what is it, something sheet that, like, filmy sheet between your skin and your muscle, right? Like, for instance, if you are a meat eater and you pull up the chicken, that little filmy stuff, like, that's what's going on in your body, too. Like, attach the skin to the muscles and stuff. At one point, I read something that doctors believe that it could possibly have something to do with that, but no one really knows where it comes from. It could be a genetic thing, something with the DNA. Don't know. Don't know. We know the person with it experienced pain all over, right? Back issues, issues with bones, issues with digestion and what they can eat sometimes, right? We know that there are strands that work for that. No two people with fibromyalgia are the same. So that's a very personal thing. You really got to know your strand. You really got to pay attention to your body and, you know, identify when something works, what's in it. What is that thing that works? It is so important to have your weed tested. That's not just a scam. That's not something to, like, block out small business or something like that. Like, the shit has to be tested. Now, in Virginia, they're talking about giving out just, like, one license, a few licenses for the testing facilities. I think that's fucked up. That makes no sense at all, right? Just have a standard, right? Have a standard of quality, and it should be open up to more people to be able to test. To be able to have the testing facilities, because it's needed. And if you just got one or two, then they can charge ridiculous ass fucking prices. You know, that's hurting business. And testing is very important. Because how else you gonna know what's in it? You know? Just growing yourself the exact same plant, same conditions, stuff like that. You know, just because one is under the light and the other one is at the other end of the tent. Like, it can come out differently. You have a slightly different profile, right? Particularly when you're in the beginning phases of growing them. You got your first clones, you know? Now, this is whatever. I'm going to just say Kush. Obviously, Kush is, like, my favorite. this is Moe's Kush 1. Moe's Kush 2. You know what I'm saying? Like, 1A, 1B. Those are the first clippings. First, you know, second generation from the mother plant. First generation after the mother plant. Those two can grow the same. Like, that's genetics, right? They can grow different. They grow all the conditions, everything's the same. But one will have a different height than the other one. One will have a different level of THC than the other one. You clip from those. Take strand one. Say 1A you like better than 1B. That's the effects and things that you're going for. And you clip those. So now you got second generation A and B. And, like, you know, they can grow slightly different. That's why when you're making a strand, it got to be like generations, going generations in, because then it's more likely that the traits are more pronounced. And when you grow from it, like before you start seeding, because then it's more likely that those genetic traits are getting passed down, right? It's more specific. You can't just go one generation, and that'll also be why. One of the reasons why certain people talk against, like, starting from a bag seed. But you can get, like, some really great shit from a bag seed. You just got to go through the generations of growing. It just takes time. It just takes time. That's also why when you go to, like, these pop-ups and stuff, and you got the growers there, and it's first generation, whatever, why they are less expensive than the other ones. Because those are the first ones that came out. Like, you can go either way, right? In addition to just not knowing what growing conditions you got at home, so the results can't be guaranteed. This is down the line, down the generational line. What pops out in the DNA of the plant is more pronounced, right? Like you see a whole family and everybody got the same nose. That is strong in their DNA. Same thing with the plant. You got that pinene, terpene, strong as hell. You ain't even got to open the bag, you smell it. It's been specially grown for that. Generation after generation. It look a certain way. Trichome production. Shit just glistening. It's been grown a certain way. In addition to the levels of food, the types of food they're giving it and stuff like that. And the other growing conditions. Humidity, temperature, all of that. It's in the genetics too. So, it's important how your shit tested. It's important to know what you're getting.